Good evening and welcome to our services tonight. We have visitors among us and we are very thankful for your presence and we welcome you back at any and every opportunity that you had to be with us here at O'Neill. Tonight we're going to be concluding the little mini series of inheritances, and tonight we're going to be talking about, as Will led us in the song, how beautiful heaven must be. Talking about heaven and how beautiful and how wonderful that it really is. But I want to start off with talking about the death of a Christian. And that's kind of what I titled my sermon tonight. I have had, the opportunity to preach 25 to 30 funerals. And some of those have been people who were faithful Christians. Some of those have been people who were never baptized. And so as I thought about that, and I thought about this, the inheritances of heaven, and I thought about the funerals that I've preached, and you think about how easy, and for some of us other guys who have preached funerals, how easy it is whenever you preach in a funeral, when someone is a faithful child of God, how easy it is to, even though that you're sad and you're going to miss them, how easy it is to preach that funeral because they've already lived their sermon. They've already lived what they've already lived and been that example for others. But then you have the individual who's not a Christian. And that individual, and it's very hard to, because the family is grieving and they're in sorrow, but they're even in more sorrow because they feel that their loved one does not have hope because they're not yet a child of God. So it leaves us in a little bit of a problem for those who are still here. We have many people in this congregation who has loved ones that they really want their loved one to become a Christian. And that is why it's very important for you and for me to not only share the gospel, but to live it. To live it in our lives, to every day that we, how we talk, how we act, what we put on social media, whatever it is that someone can see us. They have to see the light of Jesus in us. So tonight I titled this sermon, The Death of a Christian. Now I would proceed when I'm preaching the sermon there, talking about the obituary, I would start off by saying, on behalf of the family, because you always want to thank those who were there. You want to thank them for all their acts of kindness. You want to thank them for what they've done for that individual, for what they've done for that family up until that point. You want to thank them for their food or flowers or phone calls or just being there. It does, those types of things, when someone dies, it does mean so much to a family member. The love that each of us will show to them during their time of sorrow. And then we'll start off by saying we're gathered here today to remember somebody. And then whoever it might be, we're remembering this loved one. I would proceed to say the person's name, how old they were, when and where they were born, what day they died. I would read a list of surviving family members and members that preceded, who preceded in death, that individual in death. I would go on and I would talk about in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, I'm going to talk about Solomon and how he reminds us that there is a time for everything. I will talk about that, and then death being one of those very things. To everything there is a season, a time to every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and heal, a time to break down and to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh. And it goes on about the different things that there's a time for everything. I would say a few words about the person. I would share memories. I would share memories that the surviving members had given me. And they said, hey, I want you to make sure that you say this about that person. I would share, maybe if I have a personal memory, I would share that during that time. I would try to give comforting, try to help the family remember some happy moments in that life. But it also, in that eulogy, I would remind and I would share it with everyone that even regardless of how old that person lived to be, that life is brief when you compare it with eternity. We don't know about tomorrow. James 4, 13 and 14. Go to now, ye that say today and tomorrow, we'll go into such a city, we'll continue there a year, we'll buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then it vanishes away. I remind everyone that death is something that we all have to face. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falls away. Life is short. Death is something that we will have to face. We aren't guaranteed a tomorrow. Death is an appointment that we all have to make. I would talk about that in the sermon. In Hebrews 9, verse 27, it's appointed unto men once to die. But after this, the judgment. We have this life to live. But what life do we have life after? Or are we going to have death after? But the death of a Christian, what do we have? A death of a Christian has life. I would remind those in the presence that particular day that we have to number our days. We have to realize what days that we have. We don't know how many days we have left. That's why the psalmist said in Psalms 90, verse 12, teach us to number our days that we can apply our hearts unto wisdom. You see, because if that person that I'm standing before and I'm giving that eulogy, if that person is a faithful Christian, I can talk about their faithfulness to the Lord. I can talk about how that person was willing to serve the Lord all the days of their life. I can talk about the love that they had for God. I can talk about how His light shined through them. I can talk about the humility that was in that person's life. I can talk about how that person put Christ above all things and how that person put on Christ and how that person shared Christ with others. You know, in particular, if the person happened to be a lady, we could talk about in that sermon, I could talk about how she loved her husband, how she cared for her children. I could read about the virtuous woman in Proverbs chapter 31. I could talk about the wonderful example that she set before her family, before she set before her friends. The Christian happened to be a man. I could talk about how much he loved his wife and his kids. I could talk about how he provided for them. I could talk about his forgiving heart. I could talk about his love for the Lord and for the family. We don't know, and James Luna has told me this a long time ago, and that's something that I've remembered. He said, we don't know what tomorrow holds, but we know who holds tomorrow. Now, I don't know if that's a James, if that's original James, if he just heard it and he passed it on, but that's something we've got to think about. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but we do know who holds tomorrow. And as a Christian, when we die, that is something that we can have great comfort in. That's something we can have great joy in when we die as a Christian. We have a promise. We have a promise that Jesus left us. In John 14, verses 1 through 4, He said, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in Me. And in My Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare you a place for you. And if go and prepare a place for you, what did He say? He said, I will come back. I'm going to go and prepare it, and I'm going to come back. And I'm going to take you to be with Me, that there you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. What is that place that He's preparing? What is that inheritance that He has given us? That's the inheritance of heaven. Jesus promises us that He is going ahead of us. He's preparing a place for us. And it's not just any place. But Jesus says that we have a place in God's house. We have a place reserved for us in heaven. What a wonderful promise for a Christian. What a wonderful promise to someone who has lived a faithful life until the end. Because when we leave this life, we get to live with God. We get to walk side by side with Jesus. We get to enjoy the benefits of heaven. Heaven will surely be worth it all. How exciting. How exciting it is that we're going to be with God. And He's going to welcome us to His home that He has prepared for us. if we die a Christian. I would remind also everyone of the comfort and the rest that we have in Jesus. In Matthew chapter 11, 28 through 30, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that are laboring and heavy laden." He said, "I will give you rest." You see, because that inheritance that He gives us, no matter what we go through, the toils and the pain and the things on this earth, no matter the struggles that we go through, no matter the diseases that we have that sometimes cannot be cured, He says, "I will give you rest. You take my yoke upon you and you learn of me." He says, "I am meek and lowly in heart." And you shall find what again? "You shall find rest unto my souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden," he says, "is light." I remind everyone of Paul's confidence in his salvation because he believed in the promises of Jesus. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12, he says, "I know whom I believed, and I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which He has committed unto Him until that day." I know who I believe. I know I believe Him. He says there's a promise of a better place. I believe Him. He's not going to go back on His promise to those who are His. I would remind everyone of Paul's, again, his assurance that dying in Christ is far better than living this life. You see, because he had that, remember, Brother Guy mentioned it this morning, this very passage. But in Philippians chapter 1, what did he say? Paul said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." You see, he knew that when he died, he was gaining something far better than what he had on this earth. And that's the same for you and I. As a Christian, when we die a Christian, when we die a faithful Christian, it is far better. Look at verse 23. He says, "Which he has that there's a he says, I am in a strait betwixt the two, having desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is what? It's far better. It's far better." Paul knew of this inheritance. He knew that he was going to what the inheritance that he was going to gain by death. That's why he could say in 2 Timothy 4:8, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of what? A crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give unto me unto that day, and not to me only." Not just given to one person, but who? It's given to all those that love His appearing. Do we have that confidence of Paul tonight, of the inheritance that Jesus has promised us? You see, because of that sacrifice of Jesus, it's in the event of a death of a Christian that he's going to gain an inheritance like no other. We're going to gain an inheritance like no other. No amount of earthly possessions that can be given away in a last will and testament, no amount is going to compare to the inheritance that's found in Jesus Christ. What did Peter say in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 5? Read along with me. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy, He has begotten us again unto a lively hope." It's a living. It's alive. "By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." To what? A resurrection to what? To an inheritance. What kind of inheritance? One that is incorruptible, it's undefiled, it fades not away, it's reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. What did he say about that? He said we're going to have an inheritance. What is that inheritance going to look like? He says that inheritance is going to be incorruptible. Could you imagine when we die in Christ, that our inheritance is going to be something that is incorruptible. It's not subject to death. It's not subject to decay. It's not subject to corruption. There is no seed of death in it. It will endure forever. An inheritance that is incorruptible. It will endure forever. An inheritance that is undefiled. It can't be spoiled. It can't be stained. It can't be made impure by sin. It is free from anything that would weaken or contaminate. Think about that. It's something that is undefiled. It's in its own nature. It's pure. It's holy. This inheritance is perfect. This inheritance is unfading, he says. It's something that's not going to go away. Think about everything that we know here on this earth. Everything is subject to fading. Gradually disappearing or dying. What does the grass do? It withers. What do the flowers do? They fall away. Our inheritance in Christ is not of this world. Think about colors. See some very bright colors in here tonight, what you're wearing. Put it out in the sun, what's going to happen? It's going to fade. Heaven will not fade. Heaven will not go away. It is a light that will never dim. Everything will remain with its freshness. It will have its strength. It will have its health permanently. It will be something that is unfading. It is reserved. It's already prepared for us. He has gone to prepare it for us. It's something that's reserved. Reserved for who? He says it's reserved for you. It's something that is kept secure. Our inheritance, it is secure if we're in Him. It's thieves can't break through. They can't steal. Moth is not going to, it's not going to corrupt it. Rust is not going to corrupt it. It's going to be kept especially for you. We, as Christians, we have an inheritance. Are you excited about that? Are you excited about the inheritance that we have? Peter revealed to us that we are born again to an inheritance. How can we have this? How can we have this wonderful inheritance that He's promised us? You see, in Christ, we become heirs of God's endless fortunes. How can we become heirs of God? Because in Christ, we have become God's own children. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that awesome that we can be children of God? Does that humble you? That we can be called the children of God. How great it is. How great it is to serve a God who is preparing a place for us. And when you think about that inheritance, what's the only thing in heaven that's lacking? What's the only thing in heaven that's lacking? He's prepared the place. What's lacking? You and me. That wonderful inheritance that He has is only, it's lacking us. Are we going to be there? When He comes back, what's it going to be like? I can tell you this from 1 Corinthians 15. That he says, "Behold, I will show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised." How are they going to be raised? Incorruptible. Just like our inheritance. We shall be changed. For this corruptible, this body that's going to decay, it's going to put on incorruption. This mortal body is going to put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, this mortal is put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. You see, because death, in death, when you're a Christian, it's not the end. The victory has just begun. What kind of heirs are you and I? Going to heaven is not some natural result of simply having lived. It involves a choice. When Jesus taught, going back to Brother Matt Lanham's sermon last week concerning the foolish virgins, he was trying to impress upon our minds that everybody who anticipates going to heaven is, they're not going to be there. You see, the foolish virgins, they weren't foolish because they were immoral. They were virgins. They were pure. They weren't foolish because of the wrong company, because they were among the wise. They were foolish because of their vain expectation of seeing the bridegroom. They had not been willing to prepare for Him. They counted on others to have their preparation for them, and finally, it was too late. They were outside. The doors were shut. They were not allowed in. To go to heaven takes time, takes prayer, takes thought, takes planning, takes discipline, and takes perseverance. It takes becoming like Jesus. What will heaven be like? What will it be like? If it's something that's incorruptible, it's not going to fade away, it's all these, what's it like? I want to know. One day I want to know. I want to go. I want to know what it's like. And I'm sure that most everybody, I'm sure 100% of the people in this building tonight, that you want to go to heaven. You want to know what it's like. But we've got to prepare right now. We've got to live right, as Brother Guy said this morning, so we can die right. So we can live again. When I turn to Revelation chapter 21, and I can see this description that John sees, and I can, no doubt, this is kind of the picture that I would see. He's talking about the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them." We will dwell with Him. They will be His people. God Himself shall be with them and be their God. If that doesn't excite you, I don't know what will. What about the verse 4? God, what's it going to be like? He's going to wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. He that sat upon the throne, he said, "Behold, I make all things new." Write, he says, "for these words are true and they're faithful." He's the Alpha, He's the Omega, He's the beginning, He's the end. He's going to give them that thirst of that fountain of the water of life freely, he says. He that overcomes, the ones that overcome shall inherit all things. Are you overcoming the world? Or is the world overcoming you? But the fear, he says, but the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, all liars, they're not going to have part in what he has provided. They're going to have the part in that second death. Goes through, I skip some verses there, but all the beautiful gemstones that he talks about. 12 gates with 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. The street of the city was pure gold as it was transparent glass. Just beautiful. Saw no temple therein. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb, they are the temple of it. The city had no need of a sun, neither the moon to shine in it. Why? For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. The nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. The kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor to it. The gates of it shall not be shut at all by day. It's safe. It's secure. There'll be no night there. They shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defiles, neither whatsoever works abomination or makes a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. In this city, in heaven, to be there. Remember, it's reserved for you. And your reservations is written in the Lamb's book of life. And if your name is not there, you don't get to participate and the inheritance that He has prepared for us. Is your name written in the book of life? Will you see God's glorious inheritance? Will I be in heaven? If not, become a Christian. If you're not a child of God, become one tonight. Quit putting it off. You don't know what's going to be on tomorrow. Quit praying. Believe on Jesus. Change your life. Confess His sweet name. Be buried with Him in baptism. Walk a new life. Gain a new life. Gain an inheritance into heaven. If you are a Christian and your name has been blotted out because of the sins that you have committed, get it right tonight. Will heaven be your home? Make salvation certain tonight as we stand in